This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, everyone, and what a beautiful morning it is. Megan Ottolini here with John Lyons. Chris Scheim is taking a day off, as he has a right to. I believe that it is his birthday, so happy birthday, Scheim. Shout out, Scheim.
Happy birthday, Scheim.
Hope you have a wonderful day off, but what a day for us to start off with on radio because of that game last night. Once again, turn in very quickly late, and Sadon Rafaela is the hero again. I gotta say, the way that that game started, it was a little scary. Hunter Dobbins undergoing an MRI on his knee, and it's like, all right, are the good vibes over? Nope. They doubled down on the good vibes last night, and it's all vibes talk all over the city, starting with the way that they played that first game against Tampa, and then last night. Now, I kind of feel like for the rest of the series, maybe I'm being way too easy. Like, you don't want them to totally flop, but they've at least split this series, and they did it overcoming an injury to their starting pitcher last night. Like, this is the best point that the Red Sox have been in maybe the last three seasons. This is the best it's felt.
Yeah, you go back to last year, Mego, they were 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break, so they're approaching that this year. They won't quite reach it, but I would argue, I think I feel better about the Red Sox now than I did at the All-Star break last year,
even though
the record may have been a little bit better, because you have that ace in Crochet who's pitching today. You have Bregman who just returned last night. So you feel better about the pieces that the Red Sox have. You have three All-Stars. You easily could have five with Rafaela and Narvaez, I think, especially in Narvaez's case, being unfairly left off the All-Star team. And you look at these last two games against the Rays, Mego, because the Red Sox have won eight in a row, and that's great, and that's been a ton of fun. I think these last two games against the Rays have been more important and more impressive than the six in a row they won against the Nationals and the Rockies. Because it's a team that came into this series, the Rays were ahead of you in the standings. The Red Sox have since surpassed them. But it's also two games that they won by one run. And the Red Sox this season, they're 11-19 in one-run games, which obviously is bad. But to win the last two against a team that at the time was ahead of you in the standings, I think, Mega, to me, that's a big deal, and that makes it even more impressive than the six against the Nationals and the AAA Rockies.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join in, call the show, or text in and join our conversation. Obviously, we're going to be doing a lot of Red Sox talk, discussing Alex Bregman's return, what it means for guys like Roman Anthony, what it might mean for guys like Jarren Duran, as we're just a couple weeks away from the trade deadline, and hearing a little bit more from Craig Breslow about what his plan is going to be around that trade deadline, or any inkling that we have, any hints that he's dropping about what direction they might go in, what they might add just weeks after they traded Devers, which I start from this position, John, of just, and we'll get into the trade talk in a little bit because I do want to focus on the game last night and where the team is now. I'll just say I continue just to remind people the Red Sox already sold. Like, they've already sold. They've already been major sellers. They have to add something. They have to buy something because they're starting from a position of being huge sellers a couple weeks ago and giving themselves the, quote, financial flexibility. And I understand it's more about trading assets and players and not about the contracts, the money, but it's always a little bit about the money, even at the trade deadline and your future control and all of that. And the Red Sox sold big a couple weeks ago. But we'll get to the trade deadline in a little bit. As you were saying, compared to the team last year and compared to just that six-game win streak that they went through when they were playing the Nationals and the Rockies, like, the Rockies are putrid. Like, playing the Rockies doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. Unless it's an inner team scrimmage of the Rockies playing other Rockies members, like, to see who gets further sent down, it doesn't mean anything. This series against Tampa means a lot. And what matters most to me as you go forward is getting further quality starts from your other pitchers, not named Crochet. Unfortunate with Hunter Dobbins, but honestly, I think Hunter Dobbins was a little bit, like, I know he was most likely going to be at the very end of the rotation, but he's not a big of factor in what your team looks like going forward as somebody like Brian Baio. And saying, okay, what is Baio going to be able, not to throw a complete game once a month, but is he going to be able to be a consistent two or three? Giolito, is he going to continue on making the progress and looking at least as consistent as he has over his last seven starts? And then, of course, Walker Buehler, is this somebody who you can look at as your fourth pitcher in the rotation, or is he somebody who you actually just need to move on from DFA, waive, whatever, all together and replace and bring somebody else in?
And I think hanging over that is Tanner Houck, right? A guy who, before the All-Star break last year, looked like a Cy Young candidate. Wheels fell off the second half of the year. He was terrible to start this year, obviously ended up on the IL, partly as a result of how bad he pitched. Does he come back and be a piece of your rotation? And I think what the Red Sox have shown, because you brought up Baio, who's been much better since the start of June. You brought up Giolito. Houck. It still feels like they need another arm there. And I think what the Red Sox have done over these past eight games is show to me unequivocally they're worth adding that other arm. I mean, this is a team, yeah, okay, they beat the Nationals, they beat the Rockies, but they bounce back after. Remember, you and I did a show on July 3rd, and we were talking about that 8-4 loss to the Reds and all those errors they had and the grand slam they gave up.
Yeah, that don't have one of those games in this Tampa series. Right. I know I just said, like, you split the series, and that was kind of the standard that I had for you going into the series to prove that you were for real coming off of those cellar dwellers. But please do not do what you did in that final Reds game.
And we talked then about, okay, hey, they have these games against the Nationals and the Rockies coming up before the Rays. They got to stack up some wins here to show they're worthy of buying. Because remember, you go back to that Red series, a week before that, they had lost six in a row. Now they've won these eight games, so they beat the bad teams that they should have beaten. Now they're beating a pretty good team in Tampa Bay, back-to-back one-run wins. If they can just win either today or tomorrow, and you take 3 out of 4 from Tampa Bay, and then you go into that All-Star break with, again, three guys on the All-Star team, but they're going to come out of that All-Star break against the toughest remaining schedule in the MLB. And I think this team has shown, and last night was a big part of it, they're worth adding to. And they're a team that, if they can get into the playoff rate, like get into the playoffs, because now they're in a wild card position, they can compete with some of these better teams, again, if you add one more piece.
How did you feel about Bregman last night?
So I thought Bregman, to me, was an encouraging return. And I go to his at-bat in the fifth inning. It was the ground out to third base, but he worked a 3-2 count. He showed patience at the plate, which sometimes, and I know he's a veteran guy, but sometimes a guy coming back from injury, you don't always see that patience, right? He wants to get up there and just hit the ball right away. He showed patience there. He grounds out, but you felt kind of good about that at-bat. And then he has the double in the seventh, and you're like, okay. So I felt really good about him in his return. It was really those two at-bats there, and I think that's another piece of this going forward. This is an all-star guy that you now just got back.
I was a little curious to see how rushed he would look because he didn't have the rehab stint in Worcester, and he just returned straight to Fenway. But obviously he hits the double, and they're going to be pacing him a little bit. Alex Cora said that he's going to be playing 2 out of 3 games basically going forward and rotating Marcelo Meyer into that third base spot, which is kind of interesting, like a way to keep Meyer engaged. I know there's some out there who might say, well, is that the best thing for Meyer? Should he be going back down to Worcester where he can truly play every day and get more reps? I always think it's the best thing if the kid is playing well to keep him up with the majors. So I like that plan for both of them. That's not a long-term solution, though, at all, with the logjam that you're facing with Bregman's return, which I do want to remind everybody, I said this on Early Edition last night, it's champagne problems. These are good problems to have. It wasn't so long ago that you had Kike Hernandez as your shortstop. Like, let's not forget that that's the opposite side of the spectrum, and that's the really bad place to be. Where you are right now is a nice problem to have, and this is a little thing that you can do in the meantime as Bregman returns to himself.
And I think you're seeing some of these guys are making their case almost undeniable that they need to play every day. Like, Rafaela, to me, needs to play every single day. Willie Abreu needs to play every single day. And I'd put Marcelo Meyer in that category. I'd stick him at second base and have him be there every single day. Like, I think that, to me, I'd rather him stay there and then you mess around with Romy Gonzalez and Toro at first and third when you need to sit break. Just to keep Meyer in the same place, because I think he's gotten better and better. And even Roman Anthony last night, pinch hits, draws the walk before the Rafaela walk-off home run. And we're all going to remember the Rafaela homer, and that was an amazing moment. But Anthony coming off the bench cold and drawing the walk was a huge part of that, right? He doesn't draw that walk. You don't have the walk-off home run. And that's a young player coming off the bench showing a lot of patience at the plate, which I think was really nice to see.
Absolutely. So obviously it's a great thing to have Bregman back. Now all these stories are coming out about his incredible leadership, about how he's the guy that this clubhouse has been wanting. How do you feel about his position contractually with the Red Sox? Because this is something that Shime and I talked a lot about last weekend, which is these reports that have come out, and now we hear further this week there was a report that they don't have any contract talk right now between the Red Sox, Alex Bregman reworking the contract, extending him. He has a couple outs, including a potential out to free agency after this year. Is it worth it for him to go out and try to test the market when he's coming off of this injury if he has a great second half of the season? Or, you know, if you're the Red Sox, do you feel like you have leverage because of the injury and you're saying, eh, let him see what's out there. It's not going to be the $40 million that he's looking for.
Well, and I think that's the key part there, right? Is he going to leave and get $40 million AAV somewhere else? I just don't see that. As good as he is and as great as he's been leadership-wise, and we're talking about a guy that's been hitting right around 300 all year, I don't know if he's going to get $40 million a year, even on a shorter-term deal. So I'm not sold that he's even going to opt out. Like, if you're Bregman and you've missed a month of this season, let's say you come back and you play just as well the rest of this year as you did earlier this year. That means you'd finish the year right around 300, maybe 20, 25 homers. Are you going to look around and say, well, if I opt out, I'm going to get $40 million a year somewhere else? I mean, he could get potentially, Mego, a five-year deal from someone worth more total money. And if he values that, then sure. I don't see him getting more than $40 million AAV going forward. So I'm not convinced he's even going to opt out. But if I'm the Red Sox, I make sure he's here for the next 4 or 5 years, no matter what.
So don't you think that he would be looking for a five-year deal here, though?
I think, and to me, if I'm the Red Sox, a five-year, after this year, a five-year deal, which would mean he was here for a total of 6 years, I think that's kind of what you want.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Like, that would be great, because I think he's probably got 3 or 4 really good years left. So maybe those last, you know, 1 or 2 years, you're eating a bit of money where he's not as good. But if he gives you, A, good play, but B, helps you in the development of a guy like Meyer, of Christian Campbell when he comes back up, even of Roman Anthony and Rafaela, that in itself is extremely valuable. And you look at those guys 4 or 5 years from now, those guys are all going to be in their primes, and they'll be able to pick up the slack of maybe a last year of a Bregman who's not quite as good.
Something that I saw our very own Rob Bradford of Baseball Isn't Boring write about last night post-game is the vibes. And I know it's something like the morning show loves to talk about, the vibes of the clubhouse.
Usually.
Okay, so I want to ask you, because I think there's two things going on here. I think that there is a real human element to the clubhouse and to the way that the team feels and who the leaders are and how guys basically model themselves, carry themselves, especially when you have younger guys looking up to the older guys and following their lead, even if it's just about like what time you show up to the park for game day. I think that that side of things is real. I don't think Craig Breslow cares about that at all.
Well, when we saw in the offseason, he was almost pushed to sign Bregman.
When we talk
Cora,
about, like,
Wright and
quote, vibes are high and best vibes in the league and, like, these intangibles, it's fun. It's fun for fans at the park. And I'm sure Fenway last night was maybe the most exciting it's been in since
2021.
2021.
ALCS.
Yeah.
Since I've been here, for sure. I was there. It was awesome.
Was that your first time at Fenway in, like, a playoff-like atmosphere?
Definitely.
Yeah, and that's also something that the team doesn't have. Who on this team has been, we were talking about this yesterday, who on the team has been in Fenway for an October baseball game?
Bregman as a member of the Astros.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, has anybody else been in a playoff game at Fenway for the Red Sox?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone. I mean, Chapman, I think, right, was maybe on the Yankees in that one game playoff
four years ago.
Right, exactly.
Who's been on the Red Sox playing in October, playing playoff baseball at Fenway?
So the only
name—that's insane—the
only name I could think of, and I might—you can fact check me on this—would be Connor Wong, because he was on the 2021 team, but he wasn't even playing in 2021. He was a backup catcher, but he was at least there, and he's not even your starting catcher now. And I think that's the thing, Mego, too. When they sign Bregman and when they sign Walker Buehler, and you can probably throw Chapman in this territory, but Bregman and Buehler, to me, I was excited about the fact that, hey, you have guys that have won multiple World Series now, one in your pitching staff and one in your lineup. Now, Buehler, he's been good his last two starts, but for the most part, he's been bad, so that hasn't had the effect I was hoping it would. Bregman, I think that's had a real impact. I think if Bregman wasn't here, you probably would have never traded Devers, which that's a whole separate discussion. But the Bregman
that's like the butterfly effect, but the way Bregman flaps his wings and then Rafael Devers is gone months later.
But I think the Bregman factor in the lineup, I think we're seeing some of it. Like, even go back to last night. Narvaez has two pass balls, and you get down 4-1. The Red Sox last year, or the year before, would have lost that game 7-2.
How about
or
the
6-1.
How about the Red Sox
in
a
May,
couple of weeks ago?
In May would have lost that game, right. And I think the resiliency factor, and it's not just Bregman, but that resiliency factor of Meyer gets the double, right? You cut into the lead. Then Anthony draws the walk. Then Rafaela has the walk-off homer. Like, that resiliency factor to me, Mego, and I give Crochet some credit for this, a guy who hasn't been in the playoffs before, but he's shown resiliency. That's a factor this team hasn't had in 4 years.
And Bregman's been training Seydon in the cage as well.
All right,
and
then.
Seydon, much better since June 1st. 283 in June. He's sitting over 400 in July.
Seydon is unreal right now.
Yeah, like, he's an all-star. I mean, I know he's not on the all-star team, but he's been playing like an all-star for 6 weeks now.
This is going to sound kind of weird. I don't know. Maybe it's going to sound girly. I am so extra impressed by him because he has the Mookie factor of being kind of like a smaller guy at the plate. You know, you always think,
these
hitters being like Poppy or Babe Ruth,
yeah,
like that body of just having so much power. And Seydon gets up there and he looks like he wears the same size jeans as I do, and he just like has so much power. I'm like, where does that come from?
And I think the guy, can he be a better Jackie Bradley Jr.? Because you go back to JBJ, elite defender, much like Rafaela, and he would have 1 month every year, right? 2017, it was June. 2018, it was August. 2019, it was June. He'd have 1 month every year where he'd hit like 300 or 320, and you'd be like, okay, this is great. And then he'd hit 180 the other 5 months of the season. Rafaela hit 240 in May. He hit 283 in June, and now, like I said, he's over 400. So can he be a more consistent and a better version of JBJ? Because I think he's right now, it's undeniable to keep him off the field.
And hitting 240 is even a much better position to be in than hitting what JBJ would hit at times.
Right.
Like, that's at least somewhat functional.
But if he can give you that defense, we're talking about a guy second best defensive run saved in the MLB, and if he can give you that plus 275 or 280, that's an A-plus type of guy to have on your team.
Okay, so we are very high on the Red Sox right now. They have that walk-off, thrilling one-run win over the Tampa Bay Rays last night. Now the question becomes, how long is Jarren Duran going to be on this team? Is he going to be here if the Red Sox are playing meaningful baseball in October, as we so often hear them talk about, whether it's Sam Kennedy or Craig Breslow saying, or Alex Cora saying, we're just trying to play meaningful baseball in October. Is Jarren Duran going to be part of that? Is Willie Abreu going to be part of that? Does one of these guys have to leave in order to add in a meaningful way at the trade deadline? We'll hit that right after trending.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With Jacob. Sean Lyons in for Chris Shine today, who's taking off his birthday. Happy birthday again to Shine.
We're Hope it's filled with Drake May thoughts and Pokemon.
Yes, we're gonna get to some Drake May talk. We're going to get to some Patriots talk in the next hour. But right now, it's all about the Red Sox because a thrilling win, the most exciting win. And they've had 8 walk-off wins this season. So it's not like this is just this is the first that it's happened. But this is certainly the best place that they've been. 8-game winning streak, the longest winning streak of the last 2 years at least. The 6-game win streak that they had earlier this season, they've bested that. So they're in a very good position right now. But we look ahead to the trade deadline. And as you said earlier, John Lyons, we both want them to add an arm. We both know that they need pitching help. And so what do you have to give up at the trade deadline? Can you get by with just giving up a couple prospects, or do you have to part with somebody in this logjam? And is the smart thing, when you look at the abundance of talent that you have in the outfield, is the smart move to shake one of these guys free so that you can get something back when you have so much talent there?
I would rather go the prospect route than the major league roster route for a couple reasons. One is depth, right? You can have injuries all the time. We've seen Abreu's already missed some time, but you look at where they're at in the outfield, because the conversation has been centered around Jarren Duran, and do you want to trade him? And this is a guy that Duran last year led the MLB in doubles and triples, was the All-Star Game MVP. He was a top 20 player in the league last year. He hasn't really been close to that. He's still, I think, leading the league in triples, or he's tied for it, but the average is way down. The power just doesn't feel like it's the same. Hasn't been quite the same guy. But that being said, I look at this outfield, and I think Rafaela is legit, really good player. But he's still only in his second year. Abreu's in his second year. Roman Anthony's only been in the majors a month. there's, I think, a real chance, and they should be concerned, that one of those guys is going to hit a wall in August. Maybe it'll be Anthony. Maybe it'll be Rafaela. Maybe it'll be Abreu. I don't know. But one of those guys, I think, is just a young player, and I lean more towards Rafaela or Anthony, is going to hit a wall, and you're going to want Duran for that time. So the only way I'm trading Duran, Mego, and I know the Padres have been the team linked to him, is if it's you're getting Dylan Cease or Michael King back. Otherwise, I'm not trading him.
We'll get to the link with the Padres because there's a lot of things to consider there. And Sean McAdam yesterday had some really, really interesting information from Mass Live. We'll get to that. I want to give you player. We'll do the old Celtics thing. Player A and player B. And you tell me if you had to part with one of these guys just based on these numbers, who you're going, who you're sending out. Okay? We have player A. This season has an OPS of 831. He has a batting average of 258. I'm not going to give you the home runs because I feel like that will differentiate too much. You'll know exactly what it is. Let's say his RBI is 52.
Okay.
Player B has an OPS of 745. He has a batting average of 257 and RBI, 50 RBIs. So are you going? Are you sending out player A or player B in this
scenario?
Based
off that, I lean a little more towards player B.
Player B is Jarren Duran.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are looking at what Jarren Duran did last season and especially the season before, and we know he hasn't been that guy this year. And the whole consideration here is, was that the peak for Jarren Duran? And should you sell now when you're so close to the peak and you can get a lot back and you can get a pitcher back for this season and maybe with future control who you can make a push towards the postseason? Or do you think that this is just a little bit of a slow first half to the season and Jarren Duran's going to return closer to those numbers and you're going off of that history, that very, very recent history that you have with him and say, I'm sending out Willy Abreu, even though he's got a better contract, he's 26 years old, because I know Jarren Duran has that dog in him, as social media would like to say.
I am not selling Jarren Duran at all. If I move him, Mego, it's in a legit baseball trade where I'm getting someone back at the front of my rotation.
Oh, I feel like that's
like,
undeniable.
I am not selling
you'd have
it.
To, not, it would have to be a baseball
right,
trade.
I'm not doing with Jarren Duran what I did with Rafael Devers, where I get four guys back, but maybe one of them is going to help me this year and probably not even that much in Jordan Hicks, and the other guys are we'll see prospects. I'm only doing it if I get a legit number two starter behind Garrett Crochet or even 1A type starter with Garrett Crochet back. Otherwise, I'm keeping him. Because again, like I said, there's a lot to like about the Red Sox outfield. But I think you're a year away from being totally sure about all these guys. Like Abreu won a gold glove last year. He's been much better at the plate since he returned from injury this year. But can you see another full season of it, right? Rafael, a similar deal. Can you see, what we've seen in June and July has been fantastic. Can I see it for three more months, right? Roman Anthony, okay, he's been fun for a month, and he's the number one prospect rated in baseball by Baseball America, but am I going to see that in August and September, or is he going to need a full year to kind of get ready to be a Major League Baseball? Because what have we talked about? What did we talk about last week? So many of these prospects not ready to play Major League Baseball in the field, on the base paths, all that. Is Anthony going to have issues with that, right, going forward? Is he going to have growing pains? So that's why, to me, Duran is valuable in that you know he's a legit MLB player. And you can put him at any of the three outfield positions. I know he's been the best in center, but he can play left field. He can play right field even if you need him to. You know you can put him at any of those three outfield spots. You know he's going to be good on the base paths. You know he's going to be good defensively. It's just his numbers at the plate have been disappointing this year.
So we both agreed that it would need to be a straight-up baseball trade. And here's Sean McAdam from Mass Live. This is what he wrote yesterday about all the smoke around Duran. He writes, should they deal Duran, it would require a pure baseball trade in which the Red Sox find a team that has sufficient rotation depth but seeks an impact bat. Moving Duran for prospects, no matter how attractive, doesn't make them better in 2025. The San Diego Padres, according to an industry source, have been relentless in their pursuit of Duran and have repeatedly approached the Red Sox. Problem is, they don't match up particularly well with the Sox. They have some intriguing starters in Dylan Cease and Michael King, but they are both in the final year of their deals, and the Sox unsurprisingly, are not about to move 3+ years of control of Duran for just 2 months' control of two pitchers, especially with King currently sidelined. The one hope is this. GM A.J. Preller is among the game's most creative executives. If Preller could package his team's two top prospects, catcher Ethan Salas and shortstop Leo DeVries, and acquire a starter with term who he could then flip for Duran, maybe there's a deal still to be made between the clubs. Otherwise, it's difficult to envision them as trading partners. So I know that there's been so much smoke around Padres. And when I say smoke, like meaningful reporting from Sean McAdam, who talks to everybody. But even for that to happen, the Padres have to execute within their own system, getting something that is attractive enough for the Red Sox to trade Duran to them. And then it gets me thinking, why are the Padres so damn hot on Duran if they want him so badly that they're basically jumping through hoops to get another guy who is a rotational player who's sexy enough for the Red Sox to trade Duran? Maybe the Red Sox shouldn't trade Duran. Like, if the Padres are calling you up repeatedly, and this guy is so clever and smart and Preller that he is saying, like, that you're thinking that he's going to do all these side trades or one big side trade so that he can bring in Duran and give you a pitcher. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Duran is being underrated in the Red Sox system then.
So I believe McAdam's reporting, but this whole thing is aggravating to me because if you're the Red Sox, why can't you trade for Cesar King and extend them? You just did that with Crochet. Like you, and if I'm the Padres, why am I going to give up DeVries and maybe another prospect to get a pitcher that, yeah, I'm going to flip for Durant? And if you're the Padres, and not to, I know we're not on the Padres radio network, but you have Tatis Jr. in right field, superstar. You have Jackson Merrill in center field, young star that you just extended. They've had a lot of inconsistencies in left field. Gavin Sheets has played there. He's been okay at times, but they've had a lot of inconsistencies. So if you put Duran all of a sudden in left field, that, A, helps your outfield across the board defensively and offensively. It helps their whole lineup because the bottom of their lineup, Maldonado's been okay. Bogarts has been better the last month, but there's been a lot of inconsistencies. So from the Padres' perspective, I 100% see why they would want Duran. If I'm the Red Sox, why can't I get a 29-year-old Dylan Cease who finished fourth in Cy Young voting last year and extend him? Like, to me, that's the part of it, Mego, that I'm like, that shouldn't be a stumbling block. Like, Michael King, you want to tell me, hey, he's had some injury issues, you're a little concerned. Okay, but even Michael King, like, you can't extend that guy when you bring him. Like, that's where you spent money on Bregman, you spent money on Chapman, you spent money on Crochet, but what did we talk about last week? It felt like they needed two starters and they got one. Dylan Cease would be your second starter, and you can extend him, again, at 29 years old, and you'd have a really good top of the rotation for 4, 5, 6 years going forward.
Yeah, I think that the front office would probably just look at it in real time as trading that much control of Jaron Duran is like, it's losing the trade.
But see, that's that when they traded for Crochet, he was in the last year of his deal, and you had quote-unquote control of Kyle Teal and the other prospects, and you still extend it. Like,
but
it wasn't the player with
the standing and a former all-star like Duran, who you have multiple years of control of. And they would probably look at it as, we could find something better for Duran than a guy who's on such a short expiring contract.
Yeah,
it's also not like an entire season. It's just a couple months left.
And I don't disagree with you.
I wish they would just look at it and say, this is going to be better for this team right now, and we're really going for it because we're in the wild card spot, and we've seen how many wild card teams have been in the World Series over the past few postseasons. I wish they would look at it that way. I just don't think they will.
Yeah, and I think, again, I believe McAdam's reporting, and I think what you're saying is how the team feels. I just think that's kind of ridiculous to me, because if you believe in Rafaela and you believe in Abreu and you think Roman Anthony is the top prospect like he's rated, then you should be okay saying, we'll trade Duran for Dylan Cease and we'll extend Dylan Cease or Michael King or Joe Ryan, whoever.
The other side of this is, can you just trade a bunch of your prospects for Dylan Cease?
And that's another.
I'm going to guess nah.
And I think, well, see, I think theoretically you could, but if I'm the Padres, I don't, why would I? Like, the Padres are built to contend for a World Series right now. They gave the Dodgers their toughest series last year in that NLDS. They're built to contend for a World Series right now. That's why I don't, and yeah, their farm system isn't the greatest outside of DeVries. I just don't see the Padres wanting to do that. And the Twins are in a similar boat. like the Twins are kind of hanging around in that wild card conversation. Do they really want to trade Joe Ryan for prospect? Like, you have great prospects, the Red Sox do. I just think it may not line up with a couple of those teams.
So text from 207 says, don't trade any of the Red Sox. You will disrupt the positive energy and winning chemistry. It would be detrimental to getting to October seriously. Well, there's a lot of Red Sox fans who agree with that sentiment.
And I think that's a fair point.
Well, some of them followed Craig Breslow outside of the park the other night. This was after the first win over Tampa. Here's what the message that they wanted to send to him about their beloved Jarren Duran. That's good, Jacob. Thank you. So you can hear Craig Breslow chuckling a little bit there. If you're Craig Breslow, I don't think that makes much of a difference to you. I got to be honest. Like, I don't think that the way my very limited interactions with Craig Breslow and listening to all the interviews, especially that he gives in the front office report with Greg Hill Show every Thursday morning. I know it's not him every Thursday. Sometimes it's Sam Kennedy, but a lot of times it is Craig Breslow. I don't think that kind of thing gets to him, especially after you saw the way that he executed the Rafael Devers trade. He does not sit there and go, uh-oh, what are the fans going to think if I trade Duran? The fans who followed me outside the park. What are they going to do if I trade Duran just a month and change after I traded Rafael Devers? I'm trading two of the most recognizable names. The two, I would argue, most recognizable names of the last 3 years. And you're going to get this reputation of every time a guy basically becomes bobblehead worthy at your park, you trade him away. It's who you've been over the last 5+ years. But I don't think that Craig Breslow operates that way. I really don't.
I don't think he should either. And like, I'm a Red Sox fan, and I love the passion of those people in that video, but he shouldn't be swayed by that. I mean, go back to Devers. The reason they signed him to a $300 million contract in part was because John Henry got booed at the Winter Classic. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't the only reason, but that played into it. And there were reports later on that Heim Bloom and others in the baseball operations department didn't really love the idea of signing him to a 10-year deal. But you lose Bogarts, John Henry gets booed at the Winter Classic, and that pushes it over the edge. So if Breslow has a deal if the Twins say, we'll give you Joe Ryan for Jarren Duran, appreciate Jarren Duran, good player. I think if you're Breslow, you got to do that deal.
If they knock on the door about anybody else in the outfield, would you give up anybody else before Duran?
So
would you give up Abreu?
I would not give up Anthony. And then it comes down to Rafael and Abreu. I'd rather not. Honestly, of those four, Duran's the one I'd be willing to trade. And I would only trade him, as I said before, if it's a legit high-end baseball trade. I'm not doing the Devers trade part two with Jarren Duran. But I wouldn't trade one of the other guys. I think Rafaela, not only you talked about control, we have 8 years of control for Rafaela, and he's been an all-star level player the last 6 weeks, and Abreu gold glove last year, 26 years old. I wouldn't want to move either of those.
I don't want to move either of them either. I just feel like we're asking for too much, like in terms of our expectations of the front office. If you want to add pitching, I think you're going to have to move Duran. And I don't want to. I want them to keep all their major league roster together as it is right now, because I do in some part agree with the text. Like, I'm not a super vibes person, but I do think that there is something special happening with the clubhouse right now. You just watched the last 2 nights to see that for yourself. And if that continues, I don't think that you should mess with it. I don't know how much of a leadership position Jarren Duran has with the team, but there's reports that have come out about how good he is with the younger players. And we all are very familiar through the Netflix documentary and reporting his personal struggles that he's had over the years. So there's a lot about himself that where he's made himself very vulnerable to the fan base, and the fan base has a real connection with him. Not a perfect guy by any means, has had his own negative headlines, but has connected with the fan base in a real way. And I do think that that stuff matters, and it should matter. I just don't think it matters to Craig Breslow. And I think if you're asking them to add a real rotational player, that they're going to have to give up Duran to get it. And I think we should prepare ourselves for it.
Yeah, and I think you just got Yoshida back. Duran is obviously there. So you have four outfielders plus Yoshida. You get Bregman back. The baseball playoffs can be so crazy and unpredictable. Big part of it is matchups. So if I'm keeping Duran around, that can be advantageous to some matchups I might see in October. But on the flip side, if I get Dylan Cease, Crochet and Cease is a really good matchup to start a playoff series back-to-back with an improved, we'll see if he continues it, Brian Bello is a Game 3 starter.
617-779-7937 is the number for you if you want to call into the show, discuss trading Durant, trading any other pieces, just standing pat at the trade deadline. Do you have confidence that Craig Breslow is going to make the right moves at the trade deadline to get these Sox to meaningful baseball in October? And on the other side, we're gonna visit some drama between the Wills. That would be Will Fleming and Will Clark. If you missed any of this week, we're going to give you our take on it. And this is just some announcer on, I don't know, special assistant.
Announcer crime.
Special assistant to the Giants / AI involved. Huge controversy that was generated in part from our radio station, of course. We'll hit that on the other side.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
That, of course, is Will Clark from the San Francisco Giants responding to Will Fleming, who was on the WEEI Afternoons show, and he said he shared how Rafael Devers blew off three different workouts with Will Clark at first base when he first got out to San Francisco, and some of the context that was lost in some conversations was that those workouts were while the Red Sox were visiting San Francisco, of course, just days after the trade. And Rafael Devers had been in a situation with the Red Sox where he says, I'm not playing first base, obviously, not going back to third base. And so there was this explanation that Clark gave after the fact that, hey, he did that because he blew me off because he didn't want to have that awkwardness in front of his old team who he wouldn't do that for. And Will Fleming shared with WEI Afternoons just, hey, he blew off the coach three times. I don't think that's that big of a deal, especially since it seems Will Clark shared that on a podcast. So it was, first of all, you're talking to a media member, whether it's an announcer or a reporter. They're going to share conversations unless you say, hey, don't tell anybody this. But, you know, this jerk didn't show up three times, and it was really aggravating. I was like, where is this guy? Don't tell anybody, but it's bad out here, something like that. But if you're just talking, like, you got to know that that person who works for the Red Sox, basically announcing the games, is probably going to share that sentiment at some point, maybe even a year from now, when you revisit the trade and talk about it. Like, that will be out there.
I think this is just another example of Devers just being a little bit clueless.
Devers being an agent of chaos, like, everywhere he goes?
None of this would be a story if he sent Will Clark a text like, hey, I'm not going to work out at first base today.
That's the most obvious solution.
Because it's in front of my old team. Like, you do, because
after you miss the first workout, you probably send a text and say, sorry, I didn't show up. Here's why. And you don't go through two other workouts and not show up.
And look, I'm not accusing Will Fleming of this, but the Red Sox have a history of when a important person or key player leaves, of smearing them on the way out
they
the door.
Drag
we start with Pedro, Nomar, Terry Francona was
Terry
the worst.
Terry Francona that was absolutely
I'm still angry about
unforgivable.
That. Yeah, I'm still angry about that. So we've seen it, right, several times. We even saw it, like, that they didn't think John Lester was going to have a good long career and they lowballed it, you know, XYZ, right? So I always take sometimes mentions and stories like these with a grain of salt. Like, I believe Will Fleming that he heard it, but it's like,
well, it's true. Will Clark said he didn't show up three times.
Right. And, but, so I always take these with a grain of salt, but I think a lot of it just comes back to, if Devers just told Will Clark, hey, I don't want to work out in front of my old team like that, I think it would be a big story, be weird. This is not a thing. Like, so to me, this is just another example of Devers being a bad communicator, which he was here in Boston. And the Will Clark, Will Fleming, it's entertaining. It's funny.
It's
right?
entertaining. But, it's insane. Why is Will Clark going off like this? And when he's going off like that, and then he basically tries to say, I didn't even hear that thing about grabbing somebody by the neck. So I heard it first from him mentioning it. And
even if I got to go grab you by the back of the neck and drag your ass out there, you will be at first base.
Like, I hadn't heard that. So now he's really putting that out there for more people to hear, which is always the worst course of action.
I hadn't heard it either before he said that.
Exactly. And he says that that's out there on Instagram and basically saying that it's AI or something. Somebody, you know,
that's
like,
the new thing. Remember when people would tweet offensive things? I got hacked.
I got hacked.
Now it's AI.
Yeah, now somebody, it's a deep fake.
Yeah.
And so whatever. All of it, though, when I hear him going off like that, makes me think he probably said that. Because he sounds like a crazy person in that rant. Like, if he hadn't addressed it at all and was like, you know what, there's a lot of stuff out there that's totally inaccurate and I'm going to be above it and that's all I'm going to say, I'd be like, oh, there's probably a lot of people making stuff up or exaggerating. But him going off like a crazy person makes me go, he could have said anything because listen to how he sounds in that rant.
And also, let's not forget, Will Fleming was the guy who a few weeks before Devers got traded went on the afternoon show and said something big is going to happen. So, and I don't know if this is, and I'm not accusing them of the, Will Fleming's brother does work for the Giants. So wouldn't surprise me if Will Fleming has some pretty good information from the Giants organization about the trade talks ahead of time when he dropped that hint. And then maybe about this, maybe there's some people in the Giants organization that don't love everything about Rafael Devers, right? Again, so like I said, I take a lot of these with a grain of salt because the Red Sox have a history of finding a way to smear a good player or manager on their way out the door, but this doesn't surprise me at all.
Like, Will Fleming's brother has to be in the most awkward position with all of this.
Yeah.
Just walking around.
A drive to left field by Castellanos.
Casting his eyes down everywhere that he's walking. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join the conversation. Let's go to John in the truck who wants to talk about Red Sox trades. What's up, John?
Hey, Mago. Hey, you were right on earlier when you were talking about the fact that Breslow trades Duran for any kind of starting pitcher or whatever, that it's just following his pattern over the last 5 to 7 years, which is killing the following of the kids. I'm 70 years old, and I can't tell you how many Red Sox stars I followed when they played for the Sox, but now the last three jerseys my grandson has won, you know, have been Bogarts, Betts, and Devers.
Yikes.
So now they're all hanging in the closet. You know, and I'm not sure who his favorite player is right now, but he's still a Red Sox fan. But if they don't have somebody that they can latch on to and have as the face of the organization, a few players, you know, like when we grew up, they're not going to have the loyalty, you know, that they had with those of us that followed them from '67 on.
Great call. Thank you, John. there is something to that from the fan perspective. And if you're looking at the business overall, it does matter to have jerseys in the pro shop that fans
guys that actually play for the team
and won. Yeah. You know, I know everybody's so excited by Marcelo Meyer, by Roman Anthony, and Crochet has been awesome, and you have Bregman as the new leader. But Durant is a guy who has had a connection with the fan base for a couple years now. I don't know how many jerseys he's sold. Like, I don't have those stats in front of me.
I wouldn't put Durant, though, with those other three names he mentioned, because those, like, Betts is a Hall of Fame player already.
Well, and they were World Series champions.
Right. Bogarts was a de facto captain here, maybe without the title every, but won two World Series, right? He was a great player. And even Devers won a World Series, was one of the best hitters in the game year in and year. Like, I don't put Durant quite in that category, but I put him in maybe that next category down. Like, we sit here and still lament sometimes they let Kyle Schwarber go after that one, yeah, you know, good year in 2021.
After the last good trade deadline that they had.
Right. Like, I might put Durant maybe a little bit above Schwarber because he's been here longer, but kind of in that category of another really good player that you don't want to move. But at least in Durant's case, maybe it can line up that, again, if you trade him for a frontline starter, then to me it's worth it. But if you just trade him, like if this is the Devers trade part two, then I think what the caller's saying is, you know, 100% on point.
We're going to continue with our Red Sox talk a little bit later. We're on with you until 1 p.m. today. But after this quick break, we're going to visit a grade that was given by an ESPN analyst to the Patriots for their offseason moves. And I don't know if this is like grading on the hardest curve or what, but it's a pretty low how we feel like they've managed everything so far this summer going back to the late winter. I think this grade is too low. We'll give you the grade right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.